Hey, and welcome to Crippled System, episode 284. My name is Andy.
I'm Dan.
I'm Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
Why'd you have to pause for a second?
Trying to think of an L.
L?
There's got to be an L kaiju that I'm just blanking on, right?
Larry.
Master Love.
No.
What was in the tick? The giant guy in there.
Well, depends on which. Like the live action tick had Apocalypse Cow.
No, I'm talking about
the first live action tick. The one with Patrick Warburton had Apocalypse Cow. She's 50 feet tall and shoots flames from her teats.
Yeah, I'm talking about the second live action one that was canceled.
Oh, that was loud. Leatherback. What? Oh, they went with Varin for V. Sure, that makes sense.
Okay, so you just looked up kaiju alphabet?
ABCs of kaiju. I knew there had to be some baby book or similar.
They went with Quetzalcoatl for Q.
And Baragon.
Yeah, well, obviously. Look at how cute Baragon is. Look how cute Baragon is. Everybody likes Baragon. It's sad when he gets curb stomped to death by Godzilla in GMK.
Is it sad?
It's a little bit. He's cute. And they went with Fairy Mothra instead of Frankenstein. Remember that Godzilla movie where Frankenstein was in it?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a giant dude. It's not even like Frankenstein's monster. It's just a big dude.
I'm not doubting that it exists. I'm just saying I was heretofore unaware of it.
I'm just saying doubling down on the Mothras here with Fairy Mothra and Mothra both being on this chart. I'm a little disappointed.
All right. Do we have any announcements?
Who's this random asshole? Instead of Destroya, Diamasin? That's just like a big samurai dude. It's so fun to go Destroya.
I don't know.
Destroya is because they couldn't trademark the word destroyer, so they just pronounced it really weird and added extra letters, and then they could trademark it. It's kind of like when the Sci-Fi Channel changed their name to Sci-Fi because sci-fi isn't a trademarkable thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's also like half the races in the Games Workshop universe got their names changed so yes. They could trademark them. So
yeah,
like we could.
And by half, you mean all of them?
Yeah, yeah. We could trademark Skaven. We could trademark, you know.
That's why they're the Astra Militium instead of the Imperial Guard.
Oh, that's what they are. They're not Imperial Guard anymore.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think basically every race in both 40K and Fantasy has had their name changed at this point.
Yeah, because I know Lizardmen.
Just spell it weird or something?
Orcs with a K for 40K.
With a K, sure, that makes sense.
But they call them Wah or something like that.
Yeah, so they even got renamed now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they're like the Oryx or something, yeah. Right? Like they threw an extra vowel in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Destroya.
Okay. So coming up later this month, we have the WITC.
3 weeks from yesterday as of recording. Mm-hmm. So get your registration in. We are fast coming up on it.
When is the cutoff for?
End of the week, I think.
Yeah.
End of this week?
Ish. Sure. We'll be a little wiggly, maybe, but technically the end of this week.
Yeah.
Because then we need a list by the end of the following week, right?
I don't know. I'm signing up for the Guild Ball event. My list show up the morning of.
Fair enough. I'll have to double check. But the point is, don't dilly-dally. Get on in there. Get on. Everybody waits till the last minute, and who knows?
Yeah. Well, the Guild Ball one is going. I think we still had nine people signed up for it.
Last I checked, but that was a few days ago.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's an announcement. Rick had an event yesterday. I couldn't go to it. I was busy.
I showed up at the beginning to hang out for a little bit.
Yeah, I hung out for a little bit.
And I even played in it.
Yeah.
Did you win?
No, I went 2-0, then I got angry, so I YOLO'd Lilith 2 and had my game be over before Rick could finish setting up his game.
I mean, to be fair, Lilith 2 into McKay kind of ends that way one way or the
other. Oh, yeah, it was going to be a under 15-minute game no matter what happened. I just lost the die roll to go first, so I automatically lost.
Fair. I played a game on Wednesday. It was exciting. I played incredibly badly.
Did pigs destroy everything?
No. My bottom of two, because I went second, so my bottom of two was the most embarrassing flailing of bad War Machine play that I have ever encountered. I was so bad. It was adorable.
So who actually won the tournament then yesterday?
I don't know. I then went home.
Okay. Dave?
I wasn't there.
It was either Austin or Ethan.
Okay.
I just know I also didn't care because at the point of going into round three, both Austin and Ethan had scored more control points and army points destroyed the previous round than I had the entire tournament, and I was the pair down round two. So there was even winning because there was more than eight people, I automatically would lose for tiebreakers.
Wait, so was it a four-round event? Or
it was a three-round event that 10 people showed up for.
Okay, and so the last round, there were...
Three. Me, Austin, and Ethan.
Okay, so you were playing against another undefeated person.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because
okay.
I had the pair down.
You'd already had the pair down.
Because I got the pair down round two and made Jake drop.
Fair.
Oh, because I saw he got paired into, I think it was Austin immediately.
Yeah,
whoever the McKay player was.
He played two rounds against basically fire immune models with Horgul 2.
Uh-oh.
I would not recommend it.
There's not all that much that's fire immune in McKay.
Or
was he playing the Baldwin list?
I think he played the Baldwin list until that. I don't know. Okay. I wasn't paying attention.
I mean, there's like one unit that's fire immune.
I also hadn't played in 5 months, so I was playing like ass, so I needed every minute of my clock to win round one.
Well.
My streak remains where I'm unfeated in non-tournament games and undefeated in tournament games. Obviously, if I'd gone to the tournament, I might have risked that, but I didn't, so I didn't.
I was hoping to actually go 3-0 and then like stop playing tournaments, just so I would also have that rating, but it did not come to be.
You could have just left after the second round.
I actually asked Rick if he wanted me to drop so that it would be an even number. I say, at the end of the day, like, the new War Machine rules are good. I like the new list building. I'm getting more and more sick of the mechanics of playing a giant army and carrying around 8 billion tokens in an extra bag and stuff like that.
That's fair.
Like, it's just logistically too much of a pain in the ass to play this game anymore.
Yeah, I saw somebody posting, I think it was in War Machine General, that was talking about how 50-point games seem to be a lot more fun to play.
I will say that as far as the simplifying stuff has gone, I have gone 90% over to going back to using the official Privateer Press tokens that are set up to do dry erase on. So I just have like one little pile of tokens and just write as needed on them.
Sure, and that's fair. I know what I used to do. And this, sometimes this wouldn't quite work if there was a lot of overlap with solos and stuff. But for when I make lists that don't overlap, which can happen a lot with minions if I do like one Blind Water and one Thorn of Fall or something like that, is I just take all the tokens for a list and put them in a little snack Ziploc baggie.
Yeah.
And then I have all those for that list.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah.
My bigger problem is like the trays and stuff. I mean, it's still not as bad as the high watermark of Crix, where I had a double-decker Mechanica tray. And couldn't fit everything on that.
Just put all your models in like a bag. Just like dump them in like an Aldi's bag.
Yeah, Aldi's bag, or just get yourself a cake pan and just put them in there.
I don't think the cake pan would have been enough for that set of Crixilis.
This is why I like magnetizing stuff.
I tricked you, you simple fools! Aldi's doesn't have bags. Don't you feel dumb now?
I don't care.
Oh.
Yeah.
Also, I'm pretty sure I could buy a cloth bag from them.
I don't think so. Maybe. I think they just don't give two shits. They just keep all the cardboard boxes on the shelves and say, figure it out yourself, assholes.
I've never been in Aldi's.
Yeah. What you do is just like, you need something to put all your groceries in, you just, that box that has canned peas in it only has 5 cans of peas left in it, and then you just dump those peas onto the shelf, and that's where you put all your stuff is in that box.
Okay.
Also, their cards cost a quarter. And then when you return them, you get your quarter back.
The carts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The carts are chained together. You have to put a quarter in to release a cart. And then when you return the cart, the quarter pops back out.
What the hell?
They know their shopping audience.
Yeah. They know that your cheap ass doesn't want to give up on that quarter, so they don't need to pay someone to go collect carts. Because even if you don't want that quarter and you leave your cart there, the next person who parks in that Aldi's parking lot is like, ooh, free quarter.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Hmm.
Yeah, they know their audience.
Yeah.
Aldi's is great.
I've just never been. I know there's one on the way to my work. I just never been to it.
Aldi's is the second best thing the Germans ever did.
Do I want to ask what the first one was?
Obviously, shooting Hitler. It's the bishop's residence in Würzburg. Or killing Hitler. Killing Hitler. I think, though, an Austrian did that.
Part of Germany at the time?
Austria and Germany like to debate who's responsible for that guy. The Germans are like, he's Austrian. The Austrians are like, he's German. There, okay, they do have cloth bags. So there you go. Dump all your models in a cloth Aldi's bag and just take them to the tournament.
I sold that army that could handle that. Like, my troll army probably could do that with the amount of sealant I had on them.
Right? Mine can handle them with the amount of not painted or assembled they are. Like, they're assembled, but like an arm will break off.
I was going to say,
like,
yeah,
I got a one-arm battle board.
You are correct. If I put all the boxes in the bag, I can just transport them that way.
Yeah.
Just put the box down. This is my unit.
It's in a like, movement tray already.
Like I said, I've always wanted to win the lottery and then buy an army and just assemble it wrong. Just everything just assembled incorrectly. Like, you know, my Kator Jacks would have legs coming out of their arm sockets.
Here's the thing, though. Weren't you talking about picking up Infernals as your limited faction?
Yeah, but
just fucking do it.
But I would assemble them correctly. They're really cool.
This reminds me of the army I once saw at Adepticon that someone had slowly and painstakingly grayscale painted them to look exactly like Plastic Sprue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, when you look at him, you realize that it was a very nice non-metallic paint job, but he was just doing it to troll everyone because they looked completely unpainted. Until you realized, wait, those are all metal models.
I bet Infernals could look really cool with their limbs in the wrong sockets.
Yeah, but no.
I will say that half of my Protectorate Light Warjacks have their shoulders installed the wrong way. Because you can, there are two ways you can do it, and if you don't actually look at the box, it is not particularly clear which way to do it, then half the time mine are wrong.
I mean, then they have spikes out the side instead of on top. And it still actually looks kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's like all the meat threshers with the rolling pin going the wrong way.
Or the sheer overwhelming number of totem hunters who have their leg glued on wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I've only ever seen one that was correct.
Yeah. I don't even know where he is right now. I think Jim still has
the paddle wheel guy?
Yeah.
That should be put in a display case.
It should be.
Or a shadow box.
You need to get somebody like Golden Brush caliber painter to paint it up and enter it in a competition so it's just beautifully painted with its weird little paddle wheel legs.
Well, no, paddle wheel leg.
Yeah,
the other that's one, true. The other one is not something you can actually. Yeah. Well, I suppose we.
Andy, I have faith in your conversion ability.
Yeah, I could chop it off and then have double paddle wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then he's just a quadruped.
Yeah,
with little baby legs. So he's like Cotton Hill, the totem hunter.
Yeah.
He lost his shins. It is the Orgoth invasion.
Oh, man.
And that was announcements.
Yeah.
Chat said Gen Con.
Yep.
Gen Con happened.
It's still happening, isn't it?
Maybe.
Today's the last day. There might still be people straggling. But
the credit card bills will last.
Travis, are you there? Are you in Chicago or Milwaukee?
It's neither.
He's still in Indianapolis.
He's probably in Indianapolis until
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's still stragglers. I think I don't know when the hall shuts down on Sunday.
Closes at 5, I think it is.
Yeah. Right. So
there was the one year where they were the hall was actually literally closing when Masters Finals was happening.
So yeah, the event is technically over, but there are probably still people, you know, having dinner and hanging out.
Yeah, yeah.
Technically, Gen Con is done. Past tense. Over.
I should try to see if I can get Brian onto the podcast because Brian. Broke his vow and went down to Gen Con.
Did you enjoy it?
I have no idea. All I know is that it's a lot of hours to drive for a single day to hang out and a lot of money to spend.
Yeah, and after the past couple of years I've been there, I wouldn't go there without a cattle prod, and they just don't smile on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Gen Con happened. Chuck won everything.
Yep.
The end.
Protectorate. Protectorate. I don't know exactly what list he was playing.
Was he playing Thyra and Krios, I think?
It was Krios 1 and Malachus. No, I don't remember.
He won Masters with Malachus.
He won
Champions with Malachus.
Champions
with Malachus and Cyrenian. I don't remember. His Krios 1 and something.
I think it was Thyra. It was his off list.
I know his Champions list didn't have a single Judicator in it.
Yeah.
Well, that's because the Judicator is garbage.
Clearly.
He's not even that good in a vacuum. Get it? That's a callback.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a point more expensive. Yeah. Completely trash.
Garbage.
Callback. Like, someone play the clip of Jeremy.
Remember that time when Convergence had the most expensive battle engine and the most expensive Colossal? And it makes me sad. You know how nobody plays Convergence right now?
Yeah, nobody.
Like, somebody, like, posted, like, a list in the Convergence Facebook group, and hours later, there were no responses.
Was that you that
just
posted a list?
Tumbleweeds? And... No. No.
Even Nathan doesn't play Convergence.
No. I'm not that much of a masochist.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, do you still have enough of your stash of Bart hats for when new models come out?
I've only got, like, a half dozen Bart hats left. I need to see about ordering more.
Well, now that they... I don't know if they've officially... finished moving their warehouse yet, but
I think they're wrapping it up, but
and I don't think any of the new stuff is small based infantry models, right? Like
they haven't announced yet.
I don't have the spider dildos.
Okay.
And it's a dildo on the spider.
The pious dick spider.
It's like a spider with a dildo sticking out the back of it.
And it's praying.
Okay.
So I don't have that. I think, is that FA2? So I need a couple of those. And I don't have Locke, and I have an unknown number of Orions. Andy said he had one for me, and then I also bought one from somebody, and I don't know where either of those are.
I had the Orion sitting upstairs for you forever. You've never taken it. It's been up there on your way out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take it.
All right. So now
yeah, the Frostamolcus.
One and two Orions.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know I had one because when I used up the last of my press gang points, I bought everything that existed at the time for like minions and Convergence and whatnot, and I had it like exactly enough left over for Orion. And I'm like, I know Andy has one, but what else am I going to get with this? And so I just got an extra Orion. So I know there's one somewhere in the house, but fuck if I know where. I also thought I had some bone shrines, but I couldn't find those.
Yeah, it's like for my my Krix army, I could literally put together a full 10-man unit with officer of Denigra 1.
Sure, yeah, you know, that'll happen.
Well, that's what happens when you spend $10 a battle box to pick up a bunch of 5 million slayers.
Yeah, and buy ten of them because literally the way the shipping costs, the 10th one is free.
Lord Almighty.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of models that I haven't assembled yet, and they're somewhere for my Kador. I know I've got the mechanic, not the mechanic, but the gunnery officer.
You know what you can assemble all wrong, Andy,
as
far as factions. Mm-hmm. You could basically mod up and do the Cancerverse version of all the heroes for your Crisis Protocol list. Just assemble all your DC guys wrong. Marvel?
It's Marvel?
Whoever the fuck they are. I don't know. Oh, yeah, we were going to check the other things DC. This is Marvel. Marvel first. Yeah. Topic four is DC.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, some of your model, you know, have the Hulk's head coming out of his right hip.
It doesn't work that way.
Sure it could. Fuck it.
It's hard plastic. You can do what you want.
Yeah.
For assembling it incorrectly, does that count that there was apparently some debate on Infernals as to which direction was forward on a foreboder?
Because is it foreboder, the little like spindly
it's the jellyfish
thing?
It's the jellyfish looking thing
that
pointed out on Facebook that two separate people had arced the marks and decided that its front was the exact opposite.
Sure. I've seen that for other models too.
Just what does the artwork on the card look like?
I don't know.
That was a joke, but then it occurred to me that that there actually would be art on the war room, so I was actually the fact that cards don't exist.
But that's also the thing, though, too, is it may not actually be in War Room. It might just be image loading.
Or a pre-release model for like my goddamn little minion dude.
Oh, so it's just coming straight towards you, too?
Yeah.
In
it's
art?
Even got a face. Yeah. It's got tentacles that go out behind it. How's that confusing?
I didn't say I was confusing it. I said that the people in the Facebook group were confused.
What's wrong with you? Why can't you figure this out? Why are you so dumb, David? It's clear.
Clearly, you have shown me the error of my ways.
All right, I'm glad I could help.
I will say though, the way that the damage grid is on that is the absolute worst.
Yes,
I mean it's
graphically very pretty.
The ring system could easily just be three lines.
Yes, I mean,
or one line with breaks. Right, and say like damage threshold one, damage threshold two, yeah. And then you would only be able to heal from right to left, and that would actually clarify the verbiage and everything.
Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, the life spirals are okay, but they're difficult to mark damage on for if you have a printout on the cards.
Life spirals, like with beasts, like it's different because the way you roll damage, right? With mm-hmm. these things, there's no damage location. It just takes five damage. You start from inside out.
Yeah.
So if you just functionally just took those three rings, made them into lines, and laid them end to end, it's the exact same thing. Yeah. And you would just have to have marks where each of the thresholds hits.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is entirely form over function.
Yeah.
Not just to read, but doesn't really get a benefit out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I suppose we could talk about at least, I mean, the one big thing that I saw out of Gen Con. I didn't really pay attention to much other games. I mean, there's like Shadows of Brimstone had some cool.
I say 80 billion board games were announced.
They were demoing Dune, but it wasn't for purchase, so my pre-order still stands at the local game store.
Yeah, that's like soon, isn't it?
Yeah, like 2 weeks. So I'm actually really surprised they weren't selling it.
Hmm. Yeah, it seems odd. No, but
I mean, there's got to be at least one manufacturer who's not trying to burn bridges with local game stores. So apparently, it's this one.
Fair.
Yeah, it's no, but Atomic Mass Games started basically announced themselves and announced their first project.
And I like that all the people then put like their job, you know, such and such as a, well, like Pagani was one of them. Like Pagani sure. started a job at Atomic Games in January 2nd. It's so, like, so he just backdated it.
Yeah. Well, I think they all did.
They all did.
Yeah.
No, but it's a pretty decent size license for what would be considered a newer studio.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited to see what is coming out. I mean, from what I've seen, the first box with the 10 heroes that are in it, I think that's $100.
10 heroes, some terrain. So.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be out like coming about a month now.
September. Fall is all they said officially.
Yeah, they must have been really working on this for a long time to get all those machines tooled and have them actually producing.
Since at least January 2nd.
Yeah. But I mean, they must have been working on that before.
Unless Asmodee has a domestic hard plastic factory, which I don't think they have, they've had sculpts done for 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Yeah.
I don't know anything about gameplay, though. None of us were there for demos or anything like that. I know it's something like you make your list, and then you see the scenario, and then you make your actual fielded group out of your list.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's heavily based on using widgets for movement and direction and stuff. And so, one of the things that I thought was really neat is they have an angled widget for moving around terrain.
So is it just Avengers X-Wing?
Well, I mean
the movement system is, but I mean, like, Star Wars Legion does that too. It's it is a very, for a non-Fantasy Flight product, because they are a separate entity than Fantasy Flight, it has a lot of Fantasy Flight-esque feeling to it. Like the movement sticks instead of tape measures and stuff like that.
Did the Roombound War game use the movement sticks?
I think so.
I don't know. I've only ever seen one game. The one
Rune
that
Wars, yeah, rather,
I think or so. Maybe, but
whatever the one that like Brian immediately bought 50 sets for.
Yes.
Because all of us were selling them for $10 from Adepticon.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I might have just given him mine.
Yeah. I don't remember what happened to mine.
That's a tradition you do every year, because this year you gave me your Song of Ice and Fire starter.
Yes.
And I bought you a burger.
Fair trade.
Yeah.
Actually, no, you bought me half a burger. Still a fair trade.
I bought you a burger and a half, because I paid for both of us that meal. We both got a burger, and we split a burger.
This deal keeps getting better for
us. Yeah.
Hey, Nathan, I got a starter kit for Song of Ice and Fire.
I already got one.
Damn
it. Does he look like he has burgers on him?
You'll still get an Impossible Burger, but it's going to be a Impossible Whopper, not a Kuma's Corner Burger.
Oh.
Actually, I think the Impossible Whopper might be better.
Yeah, actually, we were.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, with Kuma's Corner, I like the place a lot. I don't like it when there's death metal that I can't understand there.
Well, sure.
Blaring so, very loudly, which, yeah.
So you don't like Kuma's Corner? Oh, no, the last time I was there, actually, they were just playing Pantera.
So. Yeah, yeah, it's a balance.
It's depends on the type of music, but I'm not a fan of the growly metal.
Pantera is a great band for wine aficionados.
Yes, yes.
That's a terrible reference.
That is a horrible reference. Yeah. See, this wine, it just gave me power.
Yeah. What kind of wine was it? Was it red wine?
It wasn't a red wine. It was a white wine.
Oh, okay. You should probably chant about that in your show.
Yeah.
You should chant about the kind of power that wine gave you.
Yeah. And demonetized.
Well, you know, that's what happened.
I love that was his excuse.
Yeah.
I was just chanting about how this wine gave me power.
So, yeah.
That's so, worse? Then you're an idiot?
Yeah. Just be like, yo, I'm racist. And be done with it. Like, what's your, like,
I was referring to the fact that white wine made me energetic.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many painkillers did he take that made sense to him?
No, I don't think he took any. And that was sad because it was like a tribute show to
Dimebag Darrell, right?
Yeah, to Dimebag Darrell. Yeah.
Jesus, buddy.
Opiates, not even
once. Who'd have guessed that a Texas metal band might have some problematic stances on race relations?
What?
But yeah, no, just assemble your superheroes all wrong.
I don't know if I could do that.
Dude, come on.
I don't know.
The Red Skull with his hands coming out of his legs and his legs coming out of his shoulders.
The Red Skull, I would at least take the Tesseract and put it where its head is.
Sure.
And put his hand.
Yeah. So, there you go.
That would be doable. Now, the fact that everything's going to be in hard plastic is going to be seemingly really cool. I mean, it's. I haven't heard anything about base sizes on there other than that it's kind of arbitrary.
I saw a million comparison photos with a Space Marine and stuff like that, but nobody just saying what the base size was, which seemed odd to me.
I don't think
I want to say I heard 40 mil, but
yeah, that's
I think
that's
what they said 40 millimeters was the scale they were.
Okay.
So because
the
know.
Space Marine wasn't technically a Space Marine, it was something else, I think, that they were using as comparison.
I don't know. Because in one of them, they were right next to something that they said was 32 mil, and it looked like the same base size. So I thought they were like 30 mil bases, but who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. It looks cool, and my wife is vaguely interested in it. So.
Yeah.
Fucking MODOK.
Yeah. I mean, was really happy that he was one of the first. He was one of the first people.
Out of all the weird characters that you can have in a Marvel franchise, one of the first choices is MODOK. Because anybody who's even watched any of the Marvel movies, it would be like, who the fuck is that guy?
I mean, that's where I was at.
Yeah.
Didn't know
but MODOK is amazing.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I'm kind of pessimistic about it. Like, I don't think it'll attract the casual Marvel fan, like they're thinking. I feel that miniatures gaming is such a niche market, and no amount of... is going to bring in
random casuals. Find out how much the second hottest IP on the planet, or third. I don't remember where the ranking between Marvel, Pokemon, and Star Wars is, but one of the top three IPs on the planet. Let's see how much it brings in non-gamers.
No, a lot of people picked up Legion just to play Legion, and that...
Yes, and then a lot of people learned about painting white, and now no one plays Legion.
Right? Like, what kind of retention did Legion have outside of people who are already neckbeardy miniatures players?
Oh, well, I mean, Legion also... Legion was officially launched at Adepticon. Adepticon, not this past one, but the one before that.
Yeah.
And Adepticon is the premier miniature gaming conference in the States. I mean, Gen Con is bigger, but Adepticon is 100% miniature gaming.
Okay, yeah, Gen Con is.
And
yeah.
So I went to the launch at Adepticon at the miniatures gaming convention, and they couldn't get people to play at Adepticon. They couldn't get people to play.
And I think they had product left at the end of the weekend.
Yeah.
And so, like, maybe if they just shove it into, like, Walmarts or whatever, or like Barnes and Nobles, like some casuals will pick it up and it'll like limp along for a few years, like HeroScape did. Mm-hmm. But I just don't have faith in licenses bringing people into the hobby. I feel it really is were just so internalized with you're a miniatures gamer, and from there on.
My fear is it's going to be like a Fantasy Flight game. Like, I'm depending on how they're doing the model sourcing. Like, is this going to be another game that Wave 2 is going to get shit on by international shipping?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's killed two FFG games for me, is having Wave 2 get delayed by 4 months.
But yeah, at Adepticon, it was just really sad, because I said, hey, Keith, you got to check out this, because they're launching it here, and they can't get anybody to play. And we went over there, and it's like, Keith's like, oh, no, they've got a game going. It's like, no, it doesn't count, because both of the people there work for the company.
No, and for what it's worth, I mean, I like all of those people who are behind it. I like Flights to Find. Like, I'm not trying to be super this game.
I hope it works for them. Yeah, they're taking a big risk.
I hope the game does well, and I trust the people behind it that it's probably a good, fun game. I just worry from past experiences that licenses don't bring casuals into miniatures gaming the way people think they will.
And license holders tend to be overly optimistic about about how well the license is going to go.
Right. Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I think with the fact that Guild Ball can't actually ship product anymore, there's a niche there for a game of that scale.
And sure.
It reminds me a lot more of Guild Ball than anything else in terms of
size, and you're choosing your basically your six man roster out of your team. I wish. Well, I mean, again, we're also analyzing something that's got total of 12 models right now at release.
The Wave 2 shipping details are going to be very critical. That, and they've also the way they described their initial organized play, I'm questionable about, because their initial organized play is explicitly not a tournament.
It's all participation trophies.
Correct.
Which there's
that's cool.
Like, that's what you're going for. I can get that.
However, I don't know how that's going to help a revenue stream.
Right. But, yeah, I don't know.
I also think it's going to actually hit the same problem Guild Ball does, which it's going to become unprofitable because you buy the models once. Each thing is a named character, so you don't repeat anything other than a terrain pack.
Yeah, or the other thing you could always do, too, is more sculpts, but laying down the groundwork to, let's say, make an alternate Widow, Black Widow
you're not sculpt. Alternate sculpts in hard plastic is pretty much the worst decision any non-GW gaming company can make.
You can go beyond alternate sculpt, though. Like, because look at, I know it's not necessarily an analogous one for one, but how many different Batmen are there in HeroClix? Right, like the Adam West Batman, and they're all different rule sets. So you can have 50 Hulks in this game as long as you got Red Hulk, Green Hulk, Professor Hulk, Gray Hulk. They can all have different rules. Mm-hmm.
Is the HeroClix stuff, is that still active then?
HeroClix is still active, yeah.
I think they still have the license for Marvel HeroClix.
Because that's basically...
Because they even had it when... Night Games or whoever does the Batman miniature games had the Marvel license for a little bit, and HeroClix was still going on.
The thing, though, I believe, is this is going to be the reverse of our conspiracy theory about Monpok, right? Because the Marvel HeroClix, those are a toy. So people have the license for making Marvel toys.
It is an explicitly different license.
Miniatures game, which is a different license.
Also,
no, but I'm saying, like, if you're going to try to have the same people, like, they might be trying to get the people to actually into from HeroClix over to, an actual hobby miniature game.
But again, that's still kind of internal cannibalization. Like, I don't think that's, Susie likes the Marvel movies. Susie sees Crisis Protocol on the shelf. Now Susie plays a miniatures game. Like, that's what they're hoping is for the quote-unquote casuals, the people who aren't already part of the hobby, to just come in and be their bread and butter. Because the issue is there's a finite number of miniatures players right now. And if you keep trying to just steal them from other games...
Yeah, I mean, there's more options than ever.
Yeah. Like, there's 1,000 games out there. I can only play a couple of them at a time. Mm-hmm. And so if I am picking up one game, I'm dropping a different game. Right, and that can only sustain the market for so long. And so their hope is that these licenses will attract new players, but it hasn't worked so far with previous licenses. You know, like, I don't think a whole bunch of people loved the Lord of the Rings movies, and so they played the Lord of the Rings miniatures games. I think miniatures players who also liked the Lord of the Rings movies played the Lord of the Rings miniatures game.
Well, and I think the Lord of the Rings miniatures game sold well, but I don't think it picked up players. Because I think a lot of people picked it up and then didn't really go any further because they learned how cumbersome this hobby is if you don't know what you're getting into.
They probably sold a fuckload of those Oliphant models as just, like, something to put on your desk.
I mean, for a while, even like Steamforged, the number one reason people bought the Farmers Guild wasn't to play Guild Ball. It's because they're really good D&D miniatures. Because it is the cheapest way to buy six farming models that is out there right now.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, they're all really good-looking farmers then, too.
Yeah. Like, overall. From what I understand, Steamforged sold a lot more farmers boxes for D&D players than they have for Guild Ball players.
I don't know. On the other side, I think it's definitely possible that because this is something that, given the market they're going after and given that it is a hobby miniatures game, is that in a lot of non-Games Workshop game shops, this is going to be put next to 40K and next to Age of Sigmar and is going to be a hobby miniatures game that has a that has an IP that people that are not already into miniatures are going to recognize, and it has a much lower buy-in than 40K or Age of Sigmar. And I think that
$100 price tag for the initial box is kind of steep for some.
I mean, it's compared to other game systems. But not really. I mean, it's not much worse than board games these days.
I guess. This isn't. I think the potential here is that it is going to be on the shelf next to 40K and Age of Sigmar, and not on the shelf next to board games. And I mean, I think that if in that environment, I think it looks pretty attractive.
I mean, even like I said, against board games it looks fine. In Target it will not sell whatsoever.
And that's the thing
is, like, I mean, X-Wing is the only other major IP based thing that's actually worked.
Yeah,
but it's pre-paints and it's cheap enough at 15 a ship that you can put it in a major retailer.
Yeah,
I'm kind of curious too. Is
I don't think it's going to go anywhere in a major retailer.
Correct. Yeah. But that's how X-Wing was able to succeed.
If it's not going to go anywhere in a major retailer, so in your example, what non miniatures gamer who's just a casual fan of Marvel in general is wandering into your game store, going to where the Age of Sigmar and 40K wall is, seeing Marvel Infinite Crisis Protocol, and then going, "Ooh, this intrigues me," and plunking down $100.
I mean, the thing that's going to work actually is the places that do games and comics.
Yeah, sure. So
that's the crossover spot.
A comic shop could be a place where you could put this in that would attract somebody new into the game.
I mean, to be completely honest, me when I was 16 and wanted to play 40K but could not afford anything close to a 40K army.
Oh, come on now. Do what I did. You get the Orcs and Space Marines two-player starter. You split the cost three-way with your friends because one of you does Orcs, one of you does half the Space Marines, and the other one does half the Space Marines but mods them to be Chaos.
Wasn't that the second edition box?
Yeah, that was the second edition box. That's when I got into the game, baby. Oh,
that cardboard dreadnought.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. That's how I got into miniatures gaming, was splitting that box three ways.
Yeah, fucking a two-player box.
And the sad thing is you probably still could not beat the Space Marine players with, you know, 20 Orcs and 40 Gretchen.
Yeah, no, that might be why I switched to Tyranids.
Against a single goddamn squad of Space Marines.
Yeah. Fair and balanced.
Yeah, I can't even lie and say I missed that edition. I missed the books from that edition because those books were fun to read.
Well, we've always talked about the fluff for 40K is always amazing. It's more so the power creep for all the editions as they go. It might be different now. I don't play it. So
second edition 40K was a magical world of horrendously bad rules.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was a game that still worked. But this was a miniatures war game that still worked better if you had a GM.
Correct. Let us not forget the psychic phase, that then they released a board game that you played during that phase.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
The Foot of Mork
template. Iris grenades.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
You can just lose your entire army before you actually move any models.
Look at all the skulls. I'm a 12-year-old boy. This is super cool.
Wait, I mean, if we're bringing up second edition rules, how can we forget the best rule of all? The Orc battle wagon Transport capacity. As many models as you can fit.
Yep.
Rule. They fell off you the must dog. Slide the, across the table. If models fall off, they die. No saving throws possible.
Yep.
Oh, the orc trucks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And
I,
with WYSIWYG like mod, you could definitely like barrel of monkeys those orcs so that they would actually just grab each other and just have this overflowing heap of orcs on those trucks.
I would just put side rails on it.
Yeah.
Just like going all the way up.
Oh, yeah. Don't and mod then, the orcs, mod the truck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, exactly.
Just put like a giant fucking funnel on top of the truck. Just a bucket. Yeah, it's part of the truck.
It's red. That's what they would do.
Yeah.
Yeah, just literally make a dump truck. Like mod up a Tonka dump truck because you can do that in 40K.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as your orcs come by, you can just spin that thing around, just dump it.
Here they come, bitches.
Disembarkment.
And then two Space Marines kills them all.
I think, yeah. I think they changed the Speed Freak, so I think they're better now than what they were.
Well, I mean, that's because they were broken for about 20 minutes and ass for 2 decades.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what Jim used to play is Speed Freaks. He had a modified, the Necrons pyramid?
Mm-hmm.
He had a modified pyramid for that was all orky that he made for it.
Orc players always have the best conversions.
Yeah, my favorite was a looted Carnifex. Somebody had a Carnifex as a wagon, a Carnifex that had a howdah on the back, and an orc sitting on the front with a fishing pole dangling a grot in front of the Carnifex.
Nice,
yeah. So Necrons have come in third edition. I remember being all hipstery when they showed up.
They were third edition.
They might have been very late second, but sure. Second the original like armchair destroyers and stuff. Yeah, it's right about the edition phase. I can't remember if they came right after the edition or right before, and then immediately got screwed.
Yeah, because it was either late second or early third when they had the original Necrons, and the Newcrons came out late third.
Mm-hmm.
When they decided before that the original Necrons were Egyptian space robots, and then they'd said, you know what, fuck this, everybody is just going to be Terminator-style space robots.
And then they went back to the Egyptian ones in 5th, and everyone was confused.
At least there's a theme there. Oh. And are people going to have these conversations about Crisis Protocol in a decade? Here's hoping. Good luck, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to be pessimistic. I'm not saying the game's bad. I just licensing struggles to pull in new players.
I mean, we're not even necessarily being pessimistic. We're actively staying on the side.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because, again, you said, it's the issue of small model count games. Is a cheap, once you buy in, you're done. You're not buying 20 dudes at a time like you are in something like War Machine or fucking 40K where you're just buying buckets of models constantly. Yeah. When you have that small of a pool of models to play, individual players are not going to profit you very much, so you need a shitload of players,
correct.
And the hope is the license will attract them.
Or you need this to bridge long enough to get your own IP out there.
Yeah.
I mean, and if this sells well enough that they get renewed for another project through Asmodee, well, there they go.
I mean,
it can't be the end game for them, because it will not sell long enough to do that.
You think? I mean, there's a lot of Marvel characters.
Yeah,
just a lot of Marvel characters.
Not just the Marvel characters.
Can they pay
characters
for themselves if they're only $15 a pop?
The way...
Oh, wait, no, there's 35, actually.
The way, the way the game works is that every character has an alter ego, and the rule is that in your list you can't have two of the same alter ego, so you can have multiple Spider-Mans, but you can only have one Peter Parker. So that also means that you can produce how many different versions of Iron Man armor.
Also, I do believe they're doing the X-Wing thing where the new models come out with cards that you can use for your old models. Mm-hmm. And so if you still want to play with the models you already own, but you want the better upgrade card because you know those new models upgrade cards are going to be better so that you have to buy them.
I'm out.
You have to buy the new model.
And like
so
I said, this goes
maybe
back
maybe they don't ape exactly how X-Wing did it, so maybe it's not that horrific, but that's one of the things that really made me not buy X-Wing is knowing that I could buy the models I want, but I'd still have to buy new models to get the cards for the models I was already playing.
Well, and like I said, that was what screwed me playing X-Wing competitively, was then Wave 2 got delayed, except for the people who won the Fantasy Flight Tournament in Minnesota. Then they had street legal models from the initial shipment.
No, that's if that's the way it is, then I'm more so kind of wanting to just buy the models just to paint. The kind of the main reason why.
Sure.
I want my MODOK and I want my Hulk. Mm-hmm. Honestly, those are the two ones I want out of there.
Yeah, I say there are cool models
I want my Hela and Glaive.
Mm-hmm. They look Corvus like they're fun Glaive. To paint.
Hmm? Corvus?
What?
The Thanos' lieutenant.
Yeah, Corvus Glaive.
Yeah. Corvus yep. Glaive, yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the ones whose name I can... So, you got Black Dwarf, who became Cole Obsidian in the movie, because they didn't want a character named Black Dwarf, because, the internet. So you had Cole Obsidian, Black Dwarf, you had Ebony Maw, you have Corvus Glaive, you have then that other one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Corvus Glaive's model looks amazing, and Hela's
model. Corvus Glaive's girlfriend. It's Corvus Glaive's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't.
That's the one nobody can remember.
Yeah, I didn't really care about.
Nobody even cares about Corvus Glaive. Well, come on, Ebony Maw was fucking amazing. Yeah. Ebony Maw is like one of the top three Marvel villains ever, and he's not even the main villain in the movie he's in. He's amazing, just floating around being creepy.
I am really excited for Zemo coming back in the series. I believe it's in the Winter Soldier and Falcon. No, nothing.
No, I'm busy. Oh my lord. You guys can talk.
Yeah.
Proxima Midnight. That was her name.
Okay.
Proxima Midnight.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you just Googled random word.
I already forgot what her name was.
Yeah. I mean, I could care less about his lieutenants.
That means you do care.
No.
Grammar.
I mean, I love that mini, but I mean, that particular Rogues Gallery is named like a bunch of 17-year-old goths came up with all of them.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine, but guys, come on. Ebony Maw was awesome.
Which one was that?
The telekinetic
one? I need
one?
A picture.
Oh, the one doing the little, like, you see him doing that all the time.
That doesn't help me.
Yeah, it does.
He's
the sorcerer dude.
The rejoice, for you have been chosen by Thanos to be saved. And yeah, I always like those Weasley little, like the Mouth of Sauron guys.
Yeah. But Corvus Glaive, hella awesome models. I mean, the line in general looks great, but those two models especially, I looked at them and was like, no, those are great. No, I want those.
Yeah, there's just so many characters I want to see. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just excited for them. Taskmaster, Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah, Beta Ray Bill.
I'm kind of curious which version of Drax they'll end up using, if they'll use the amazing comic book version where the green and purple.
I mean, outfit. It's a comic book IP. They'll use both.
Yeah, that's true. Too.
Yeah. I mean, some of the characters, some of them are based on the comics version. Some of them are based on the MCU versions. And
yeah.
I don't know that given the alter ego system, my guess is that there will be models that you'll have versions of the same character from both the comics and the MCU versions of them.
Why have Corvus Glaive as one of your launch models?
I don't know.
No one cares about that guy.
He looks cool.
I guess he did fuck Vision real hard.
Yeah.
Like, is he within Infinity War, is he the most successful of the Children of Thanos?
I thought Maw was pretty successful.
I mean, he kidnaps Strange and then dies.
Strange, Iron Man, and Spider-Man.
Well, he kidnaps Strange, who is rescued by Iron Man and Spider-Man. Yeah. So Iron Man, Spider-Man, and Strange end up on Titan because of Maw.
Yeah.
But so Maw kidnaps Strange and then dies. Proxima Midnight does dick all, except claim that Corvus Glaive is dead, so that they can be tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Obsidian loses his hand and then dies. Mm-hmm. So he does nothing. So yeah, I think that by default, Corvus Glaive wounding Vision so that he's all super fucked up and then has to be repaired and blah, blah, blah. He might be the most successful of the Children of Thanos. I know that was a fascinating little thought process there, and I hope you all enjoyed it.
Mm-mm.
Okay, sorry. Fuck you then.
Aw. Any of you guys hear anything else going on with Gen Con?
No.
No.
My opinion of Gen Con remains the opinion I've had for years of Gen Con. It is far too expensive for me to care.
and it's far too difficult to get a fucking hotel room.
Also, yeah. Fuck 50,000 people in that small
space. I would probably pay through the nose to go to Gen Con if I could get a hotel room by just saying I would like a hotel room.
And it wasn't just so fucking crowded.
Or and it also, the hotel was not, you know, 20 miles away from Gen Con.
Yeah. I mean, the last time I went there, and I ended up staying at a hotel room that was outside of the Beltway in Indy, which was like ended up being like a 50-minute drive to the convention center.
I do sometimes think about going and then just never, you know, having a place to sleep.
Yeah.
Because, like, various aspects of the hall are open 24/7, I believe.
I mean, the other thing is we know enough people down there
and
that you just be like, come on, I'll give you $20.
Sure.
Or you can just replace
let me sleep in your, you know,
no, you could just replace your hotel budget for cocaine.
I do like cocaine. So, what?
They kind of felt like it came from left field. And so I was checking the chat to see if somebody was talking about cocaine in there.
No, it was stuff we were talking about that you weren't listening to.
I was.
Wow.
Going through to the next section here. So when we do our zappity grumbles, I am ready for them.
It's funny because I didn't listen to the entire last thing either. So
what'd
it
you
was
say?
Hypocrisy. Exactly. But no, because you could totally just like, you know, catch some winks like in a corner, like in the hall, and then somebody else would be like, oh, sorry, I just, you know, dozed off. I was on my way. I was waiting for a friend who's in that tournament, and I must just doze off, my bad. And then you move to the next hallway and do it again.
Or, I mean, you could like...
So plan homeless.
Yeah, basically plan homeless.
Or you could like cosplay as a Dalek or something and just...
sleep in the suit. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the problem with that is you have to carry the cosplay with you.
No, there's got to be some good cosplay, like... Just cosplay Rip Van Winkle, right? Just wear the old timey nightdress and the long hat with the ball on the end and a big white beard, and like have a badge that says Mr. Van Winkle. And then just while you're sleeping, people think you're really getting into the verisimilitude of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that it's raining during the convention, so then you can just go find an alley and wash. It'd be hard to take a shower for that.
I will tell you from going to conventions previously that as much as I like to not be that guy, you will not stand out stinking of BO day 3 of Gen Con.
Yeah, but I can't stand that myself.
Then you go to a gas station, you take a whore shower.
Oh, okay.
And then you go back to the convention hall.
Sure.
Quick wash up around the pits and the danger zones, and then back you go. Hmm.
So that is our review of Crisis Infinite Earth.
Yeah.
No, it's a review of Crisis Protocol.
Yeah.
Next up is Crisis Infinite Earth. So hello, David's chair. Let me just get out of your way, I guess. Crisis on Infinite Earth, Andy. That's the DC one.
I'm super excited for this because I like the Arrowverse. I hate Arrow. Arrow is the suckiest of the shows, but all the other shows are really good.
Arrow,
except for Batwoman.
Arrow was bad frequently.
Hmm?
I like the whole time when the plot of Arrow was that Ra's al Ghul wanted to force Arrow to take over the League of Assassins or the League of Shadows. And Arrow's like, no, I don't want to take them over because they kill people. And Ra's is like, you can take them over and they'll do whatever you tell them to do. And he's like, no, I won't take them over because they kill people. And he forgets to like put one and one together and be like, okay, I'm in charge. Don't kill people. And then all of the problems are solved.
I just don't like Arrow at all.
I just couldn't get into it because the guy that plays Green Arrow is one of the worst actors I have ever seen.
I don't think it's that. It's just that it's
he stands
it's literally Dawson's Creek with a superhero.
Yeah, how dare you badmouth Dawson's Creek that way?
I would watch Dawson's Creek to watch Dawson's Creek. I'm not watching Arrow to watch Dawson's Creek.
Right, but now you're telling me that somebody took Dawson's Creek and made it into a DC superhero show.
Yep.
And then you're saying you don't like that show.
I don't like it.
And that just doesn't make sense to my brain.
Yeah, it hurts. I don't like it.
Like, if Dawson had arrows and shot him, he might be almost as cool as Pacey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was always Team Pacey.
I mean, I passively don't care about Marvel. I actively don't care about DC.
Marvel movies are better. DC shows are better.
Yeah, it's pretty much. Well, except for Batwoman. That one is That one's not doing well.
Is it?
Not very good.
Is that out yet? That's the one with Ruby Rose, right?
I think so.
I thought that wasn't out yet.
The whatever screenings that they did, I think they showed the pilot on CW or something like that. I know it's not getting good reviews at all, as in people just don't.
But are they actually not good reviews, or are they, this show has a lesbian in it, I hate it, preemptive bad reviews by the internet?
It could be that. I haven't done enough research into it.
How dare you? I expect better.
No, you don't.
You're
no,
right.
Don't. this podcast.
David, you don't like that?
I say someone brought up that, you know, we need to pair with someone who does good content but bad marketing. And my response was that requires work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like, the coolest thing that's happening in the Crisis in Infinite Earths is they are actively going out and getting anybody who's played a DC character and hired him on to be that character in this show. So, like, they've gone out and they've already said that, well, they had him announced at Comic-Con, Brandon Routh, who currently plays Adam on Heroes of Tomorrow?
Sure.
Legends of Tomorrow. But he's going to be reprising his role as Superman.
Oh, I thought you meant he'd reprise his role as the vegan superpowered person from Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Which stars a lot of superheroes.
It does.
I mean, Captain Marvel's in that. Mm-hmm. The Punisher's in that. Mm-hmm. Superman. Mm-hmm. Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
The Storm. Or Johnny Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Did I miss any? Yeah, I thought it was pretty.
No, so
the not Yellow King. Yeah, the King. The what the fuck is the name of the villain in Legion?
The Yellow King.
Yeah, the Yellow King is in it.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, a version of the Yellow King.
Okay. Yeah. A version of Superman.
Yep.
One of the Yellow King's main avatars is in that movie.
Yep. Yeah, it's just filled. No, but
Andy, you're missing the most recent one that was announced that's going to be in it. The one that I'm most intrigued to find out how they're going to be in it.
Burt Ward?
No.
No? What's the most recent?
Go. Kevin Conroy.
What?
Yeah. Yep. Kevin Conroy's going to be in it. I don't know how.
There's going to be an animated version of Batman running around.
That falls under I don't know how. I don't know if they're going to Last Action Hero it up and have the one cartoon running around with them, or if they're just going to have Kevin Conroy as a guy, as just a fun thing. Like, he'll have a bit part as a random bank teller or something. But Kevin Conroy is going to be in it.
They'll give him a suit of some sort. Who knows?
Or they're going to David Prosit and just redub someone.
Yeah,
potentially. I mean,
cartoon to be asked though. Just straight up say fuck it. This is the dimension. This is Spider Ham.
Yeah.
You know, he's from the cartoon dimension. Kevin Conroy.
That would be very odd and very good. I would like that.
Still the best Superman or Spider. What's the one he plays? Batman.
Yes.
I will say though that my exposure to television and culture in general used to be primarily absorbing it via osmosis while my wife was watching something, and then the beginning of this year my wife started grad school, so I have even less exposure to it. So I have no idea what anybody's talking about.
Okay. I mean, that's, I don't know.
Kevin Conroy, our childhood's Batman.
Yeah.
Mm. Not. I don't. I think I'm still.
I mean, Keaton's fine.
No. I think my childhood Batman is still the '60s Batman.
Is Adam West? No,
it was Adam West, because it was. I mean, I was about 10 when
Batman Keaton. Series or Keaton. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that was '86 or was it '88?
'88.
Yeah. So I was in my teens by then. So.
No.
Yeah, but man, Batman the Animated Series.
That was 91, so yeah, I was already in high school at that point.
And you get home from high school and watch Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah. I remember watching it when it debuted prime time on Fox.
Yeah.
Was that like 6 o'clock or something like that?
Yeah. Like, you were probably too old for Beast Wars too, but you know you watched that shit. Come on.
I did not watch Beast Wars.
What?
Nope.
What?
Nope.
Yep, I didn't either.
Have you not paid attention to this podcast? Transformers stopped after the movie for me. Yeah.
And he missed
stopped.
The best. Dinobot won an Emmy.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah, that is actually true. I forgot that. Dinobot did win an Emmy.
I do remember seeing a sequence in Beast Wars where all of they ended up getting into the Ark.
Yeah. So which, see, there you go. This is in the canonical universe before the movie.
Ah, that's a good point. Yeah. That is a good point.
I don't know if I could watch that CGI now, though.
It actually is not bad.
Because it's kind of like Toy Story, where because they're not supposed to look real, it doesn't matter that it's aged badly.
Yeah.
Like, that monkey does not look like a monkey, but he does look like a robot.
Sure.
Yeah. And also, yeah, it's computer-generated, but it's before when they tried to make computer-generated perfect. So because of that, it didn't age as badly. Yeah.
Did a reboot. Like, reboot looks pretty bad, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. They're inside a computer. They can look how they want.
Yeah, yeah. No, I never watched any of Beast Wars at all.
You mean Emmy award-winning Beast Wars?
Yeah.
Emmy award-winning.
Yeah.
Dinobot's awesome.
Zappity.
Fuck you.
Angry Cloud.
That's how thunderstorms were. Like, the lightning came and the cloud just went, fuck you!
This is how Greek mythology worked.
Fair.
It was just different inflections of fuck.
While Andy's scrolling, I'm going to mention that I saw Hobbs and Shaw on Saturday. And it was Hobbs and Shaw.
I was going to say, it's like it's movie loaf. I mean, that I looked at it and was like, yeah, and it's like I have no...
Wait, is that the one where they had the rules on how much they could lose against each other in the fight?
They might have. They don't actually directly fight each other at all, which might be how they get around that. Like, they yell at each other a bit, but they don't actually have a fight against each other. I will say, if anybody's on the fence about Hobbs and Shawing, just as a minor spoiler, but it's early in the film, so it was kind of a nice surprise, but screw you. Skip 30 seconds if you don't want this to be ruined for you. But it had way more Ryan Reynolds than I was expecting, and he was awesome. He shows up at the beginning of the movie, and he just Ryan Reynolds'ed it up, like peak Ryan Reynolds, and it's adorable and made me very happy.
That's also the reason why to watch Blade 3 is Ryan Reynolds. I mean, and Triple H.
But yeah, that movie, I've seen the trailer like three times from taking my kids to other movies, and I was like, yeah, and it's like I have no special desire to see that movie, but I could definitely see it being good because the movie understands what it is.
Yeah, like the one of the climaxes, like they're driving around like through an exploding facility, and they're like these coolant towers are like collapsing, and they're doing like kung fu flips, but like with their cars, so their cars are spinning through the air and whatever. And I'm like, you know, this was a movie series about drag racing, like, and this is where we are now, and I'm okay with that.
I do like how you spoiler tagged Ryan Reynolds and not one of the climaxes.
Oh, whatever. There's like seven climaxes. Every 10 minutes, something explodes.
Yeah, I mean, basically,
wait, only every 10 minutes? What kind of crap Fast and Furious movie is this?
Yeah, garbage.
It's like a love letter to Michael Bay.
Yeah, but done well.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's more like a fuck you to Michael Bay. It's like, here's how you would make a good Michael Bay movie.
He's got just a couple of good movies.
Re-release The Rock?
Yeah. Well, The Rock was in this.
Touché.
He had been released, I assume. Also, fun fact, during the credits, I was very confused about a song because they kept saying No One Hates Pizza. And I'm like, why are they singing No One Hates Pizza? And they just said it over and over and over again. And then at the end when they did where they show the songs, it was called No One Defeats Us. But I swear to God, they say No One Hates Pizza, which I think is way better.
Yeah.
Because the song is about how like tough they are and how much ass they kick, and then they start chanting No One Hates Pizza. I'm like, I'm with you. I'm on board with this song.
So you're saying it's not too repetitive?
Yeah.
Okay, I won't add that to this year's Spotify playlist.
Also, count them four ending credit scenes.
Oh, really?
not including ongoing scenes during the credits. Because there's ongoing scenes during the credits, and then interspersed before and after those, there are four full credit interrupting scenes.
So it's kind of like 21 Jump Street.
Well, it's like during the thing where like they show like the it would be like the montage of sequels in 22 Jump Street.
Yes. Yeah.
And then in addition to the montage of sequels, there are four full scenes that are also tagged onto the credits. Full on Marvel stingers. Yes. Two of which do have Ryan Reynolds.
All right, are we ready for Zappity Grumbles?
Probably. You were scrolling. I was buying time.
No, that was already there.
It was vamping. Vamping.
You guys never vamp when I ask you to.
No.
Do we do anything when you ask us to?
This is, no. He makes a good point.
No. Have any of you tried? Have any of you tried the new contacts paint by GW?
You mean the contrast?
Why would you paint your contacts? That seems like a terrible idea. How would you see?
Also, that would doubly not work with contrast paints because it would just run in your eyes.
Yeah.
Now, if you paint,
and that shit burns.
Yeah. Like, would it just make the whole world like pink if I painted my contacts pink?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Rose colored?
That I could do. Yeah, like rose colored. Everything would be wonderful if I painted my contacts rose colored.
Hold still.
So I'm going to assume that Sean meant contrast paint.
Don't put words in his mouth.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah, you did say specifically, have you tried the new contacts paint by GW? Mm. And if so, what are your thoughts on them?
None of us
have. I've replaced my entire paint line.
Your contacts?
Yes.
Line?
Yeah, I'm sticking with saline.
Yeah, I don't think I would.
Oh, bullshit. You use tap water.
Oh, I use saline at home. When I go to conventions, I forget the saline, so I use tap water.
Oh.
Yeah, it does not work particularly well, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, I made that mistake at last War Machine weekend. I didn't have the proper stuff to clean my CPAP mask, and so I was at War Machine weekend, and it looked like I had leprosy after my face broke out from having the mask.
Nice. I already primed all my Monpox stuff black, and then the contrast paint came out, and I went, oopsies, and didn't buy any.
You could still prime them white.
Nah.
Yeah?
I'll just leave them unpainted.
So I haven't completely replaced all of my paints with contrast, but I will say that I have contrast and white and black primers and Vallejo metallic silver, and that's about it.
That's true. I just haven't painted anything since I started using contrast that actually need real metallic.
And I've got a couple of dry brush paints. But I mean, realistically, I have painted a lot of stuff with a very small number of paints.
Oh, that's true. I do have a bottle of brown paint that I use for ground.
Yeah,
sure.
But that's basically poster paint from Walmart. Because it's for bases.
Yeah, but so I have replaced the vast majority of my painting with contrast paints, and it looks nicer, and it's faster, and it's easier.
I refuse to use my contrast paints until I have the full set, and I'm still missing three of them.
You're welcome.
Which ones are you missing?
I would have to look at which ones I got.
Because I finally managed to get a pot of Ethermatic Blue, which was looking for. But
I think that's one of the ones I actually...
When I bought one at Pegasus Friday, they still had two left.
Yeah, no, I got that. I'd have to double check my list.
Oh, it's orange and turquoise and...
One of the skin tones.
Yes. I'm not responsible for the skin tone. It's the other two that Andy was kind enough to sell me out of his pre-order box.
And yeah.
Then
yeah.
They turned out to be back-ordered for a month.
Yeah. And they're still not available.
But yes, contrast paints are amazing. And also the super secret tech that you need to do with them is use the Vallejo airbrush silver. Airbrush that, and then contrast over it. Also, this works for having models that have only parts of them that are metallic. You can paint with the Vallejo airbrush silver, which is an amazing metallic paint to just paint with as well. Get your metallic there, and then put
Vallejo gunmetal also works if you want a darker metal.
Yeah.
But
I have like the aluminum and the silver, and I like I like using the silver because it's a little darker than the aluminum, and then contrast on top of that, and it looks fantastic.
Zapata
Grumble, and Dave had mentioned I sense lots of talk about this little indie release involving comic characters. I hear the guys behind it used to work on some other game that was quite good.
Rewind 25 minutes.
Yep.
Zappity.
Combo. Top three things from Gen Con.
I will probably buy it for what it's worth. Like,
yeah.
Despite that, like, you know, let's buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things
worst case scenario, I know people who would like painted models of that for Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The only thing...
Although now I am going to assemble it wrong because I told Andy he should and he won't, so somebody has to.
I mean that said, it is also legitimate to say, yeah, I'm going to buy it, but I'm still skeptical because if we are their target audience, there aren't enough of us.
That's the problem. That's exactly my point, is we shouldn't be their target. I don't think we are their target audience, but unfortunately in the past...
We aren't their target audience. We are their intended buyer. Or probable
I will say
buyer.
Though, from what I've seen, because I do a lot of comic book stuff on Facebook as well, and they're getting traction in other news outlets because of this, as compared to just seeing all the stuff coming from miniature companies. Like you'd only see in Beast of War, but I mean it's actually being released in other areas for news about it. So that's good for them as well. Top three things from Gen Con.
Not being there, not spending the money, not driving the Indy.
What Dan said.
Yeah, agreed.
Worst three things from Gen Con. Being there, spending the money.
Driving the Indy.
Yeah. The last time I went, we couldn't find parking in the entire city because there was a One Direction concert.
It's just too big for its britches. It's a mecca for gaming, but... It's just too big for right now.
Yeah.
50,000 people all trying to cram into the... Probably even more than 50,000 now.
As I said, I mean, Adepticon is huge, and it's still much, much smaller than Gen Con.
Yeah, and I hate Adepticon because there's too many people. Yeah. And there's like 7,000 there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Zebedee.
Grumble.
Long Riders, any good?
They were when I played Trolls.
I liked them.
I got money when I sold them.
I mean, Tuffalo are amazing generally. They have reach all day.
I think they fixed most of the problems with them.
I think they're in band.
They're five or eight wounds now.
They're eights.
They're definitely in Band of Heroes. I think they're in Storm of the North.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, with Storm of the North, you take two units of bears because bears are legitimately one of the best units in the game. And you back them up with something. I mean, I think there are going to be competitive trolls lists that have long riders in them. It's just a matter of what you fill out the non bear stuff in your Storm of the North list.
They're also make very good sock jacks.
Yeah. Yes,
well, yeah. Because each one is just a hunk of metal. I don't know if they redid them in resin at all.
I don't think so.
But yeah, I still have my five in Horthal, and yeah, they're. Solid.
Yep. Zepeda.
Grumble, how interested are you in Crisis Protocol?
Rewind 28 minutes.
Yep.
Or five.
Yes.
Yeah.
Zepeda.
Grumble. And that's it. That's all we got for the Zepeda Grumbles.
Hooray.
I was going to double check for the twits.
I did not see any
tweets
earlier.
And emails.
Eurotrash.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Euro litter? Get on the dance floor and shake your Twitter.
Yep.
Bum, ba, bum, bum, bum. Check the tweets.
I miss that show so much. Only Nathan and I know what you're talking about.
I will believe that assertion.
Craig Ferguson.
Okay.
I go to bed way before that.
It's all right.
So there aren't tweets? I was still vamping for you to look.
No, there's no tweets.
Okay, I'm going to go first with my recommendation because it's a callback. It's a double callback because what is this, a crossover episode? You know it's a crossover episode. Once upon a time, I might have recommended a Bon Appetit YouTube series where they have a professional baker recreate candies and snacks.
It's going to be about tacos again?
No, it's not about that. Dance was about tacos. So like, there's an
Are
episode.
You still angry at me, by the way?
No.
Okay.
I spread that at work, and now I got to spread the pain.
Okay.
Don't watch Dan's recommendation from last week unless you have recently eaten tacos. Otherwise, you'll be angry that you aren't currently eating tacos.
Or eating at 9:30 at night.
But like, so she has to make these things from scratch. Like, she had to make gushers, like the gummy candy with the fluid in the middle, just from scratch, mm-hmm. With no special tools or anything. She had like Oreos, Snickers bars,
just
et cetera,
start
et cetera.
Over. Yeah.
Yeah. So those shows are great, right? Because she always suffers and it's always miserable and she always hates her life and wants to die. And her name is Claire Saffitz. Yes. But so Half Sour Saffitz, as Brad calls her. Brad, speaking of which, if I have not recommended the Gourmet Makes series starring Claire, I have definitely recommended the It's Alive series starring Brad Leone, which is this guy who makes stuff that always involves like fermenting and mold and stuff like that. Like he'd make kombucha or he'd make some fermented hot sauces, whatever. So he always does like these things. That's a shtick. They just completed a 3-episode crossover. So it's like feature film length because it's like 3 half-hour episodes of Brad and Claire trying to make sourdough donuts. And it is fucking amazing. It is so entertaining, especially the first like 10, 15 minutes of the second episode. Claire was late, so it's just Brad rambling on and telling stories and trying to balance a rolling pin on his hand, and it's just wonderful. But it's great stuff. They're both very entertaining. Brad Leone might be the most entertaining show host I have ever seen as far as like cooking shows and stuff like that. He is fucking amazing. I would say he deserves a show, except like the internet is the future, so having a YouTube show is probably better than having a TV show. I'm not certain, but definitely watch It's Alive in general. But the last three episodes were a crossover with him and Claire trying to make donuts, and it took three episodes because the first two episodes did not go well. So if you enjoy watching people fail miserably and be sad with their failure, I really recommend the first two episodes. If you enjoy delicious-looking donuts, the third episode's where you want to skip to.
At least a TV show has a guaranteed pay as compared to YouTube, where they could just be other people can dictate
sure,
on you don't get paid.
The Food Network is all reality food. So if you want to actually cook, the internet's where you be.
Sure. Yeah. Also, I'm sure Brad has guaranteed pay because he is an on the book's staff member of Bon Appetit, who in addition to their YouTube channel have like the magazine and everything
sure,
like that.
Sure.
So he's an actual on staff. Claire was, they actually discontinued the Gourmet Creates series for a while because she left staff, but now she's on as like a mercenary. No, like she'll
creative
come
consultant.
In. Yeah, she'll come in and she'll do like an episode, but she technically doesn't work for him. They're just like paying her
freelance,
as a guest. Freelance. Freelance is what I'm going for. So Claire is a freelance person, but she came back and she does it frequently enough that she might as well work for him, but she's technically freelance. But I'm just happy she's back, and the crossover was fucking amazing.
I mean, gastronomical mercenary does sound like a cool job title.
That does sound like a cool job title. So that's my recommendation.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to recommend Fire Emblem Three Houses.
You already did that.
Have you played it?
I almost downloaded it. And here's what always put me over the edge is this morning I was looking at reviews for it.
Mm-hmm.
And no, not reviews. A commercial for it came up on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And in the commentary, people were like, more like Fire Emblem's Persona 6. And I'm like, what's the bad part of what you just said? They're like, yeah, it's like 10% tactics and 90% politics and romance. And I'm like, okay, you're really fucking selling me on this game. You think you're not. You are. So, yeah.
Dan, have you played it?
I don't care.
Which house do I start as?
Which one has the breeding program?
You'll have to go to previous games, and there isn't a breeding program in this one. You still get to romance people, but you don't get to breed them.
But I saw there is more LGBTQ romance options in this one than in the previous ones, which is nice. Do I do the Black Crows, the Yellow Panthers?
I think you want to be the Black Eagles.
There's Black Eagles, there's a Yellow something, and there's a Red something, right?
It's Yellow Deer, Blue Lions, and Black Eagles.
Yeah. Black Eagles sounds the coolest, which makes me think most people probably do it.
They're the most taken house, as far as I can tell. Yeah.
Bullshit.
Okay, then go with the Blue Lions. Then.
But that's like I'm a Detroit football fan.
Okay. Then you're left with the Yellow Deer.
It's Pokemon Go all over again.
Right? I was Team Yellow in Pokemon Go.
Yeah!
Because no one wanted to be Team Yellow. So
exactly.
I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I remember the meme
was the
with
hipster
like,
one.
It was like they took the Godzilla 2014 thing and they had like Team Red and Team Blue. And then Professor Sarazawa was Team Yellow and he's just like, let them fight.
I mean, the Yellow Deer is going to be fine if you like having a near invulnerable and extremely physically strong small anime girl with pink hair on your team.
Done! Fucking done! Oh my lord, I am going to make her my waifu. It's going to be great. Yes.
Have you played it?
Yes.
No.
Fuck okay. you. I'm leaving now to go drive home. I didn't bring my Switch, so I need to go home now to download this so I can have pink hair, waifu,
okay,
anime girl.
Yeah. If none of you have played it yet, the recommendation stands. Fire Emblem Three Houses, now.
Nope.
Now.
Nope.
Now.
Because I was thinking about like the Final Fantasy X, but maybe I'll do this instead.
Yes.
I hear that there's an incredibly powerful pink-haired anime waifu in it.
Hey, I'm finally making progress in Dead Cells.
What are you finally? Well, you just platinum two games like last week.
Yeah, I did. I didn't even recommend the second one.
Did you
recommend Time Spinner?
Whoa!
This is a
sorry
cute little game, but no. I don't think I'll play Fire Emblem. I don't think I like any of the Persona games.
Just
did you like Final Fantasy Tactics?
kind of.
There you go. Yeah. Vandal Hearts?
I like Vandal Hearts.
Yes. Vandal Hearts is a different game.
Yeah, it's different.
But it's that style of combat.
It's that style of combat. Just play it. It's awesome. It is a fantastic game.
I don't want to spend the money.
I'm liking it more than I thought.
Steal it.
How?
Like, I don't know. They probably have it at Walmart.
Okay.
The Waltons have enough money. It is not morally wrong to steal from Walmart.
Yeah.
My lawyer legally said I can't tell you to steal from Walmart, and I'm not telling you to steal from Walmart.
Remember, Andy, legally and morally are two different things.
I am legally not telling you that you should steal it, but I am saying that morally speaking, I do not think you would be doing the wrong thing. Am I clear there?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Demonetized.
We had that like an hour ago.
Yeah. Do we monetize even anyway?
Oh, probably not.
Well, if we're already demonetized, it is a shame that Mitch McConnell didn't die.
He could still.
He still could.
Could still.
He could die slowly and painfully from a bone infection from his shattered elbow or shoulder or whatever the fuck it is. It can get infected, and he can slowly die from a flesh-eating disease.
God forbid. How does a turtle get hurt? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
He tripped and fell on his patio.
Yeah. And so, like, his shell, you know, the limbs sticking out from the shell.
Have you seen the picture that's the McConnell turtle, but it's a Kremlin onion spiral instead of, or St. Basil's Cathedral onion spiral?
Ah, Moscow Mitch. Yep.
Oh, he doesn't like that. Don't call him that.
Fuck that. We'll carve it in his gravestone.
Yeah.
After you piss on it?
No, I'm going to make sure I have enough urine that I, like, it's like the
water jet.
It's a water jet. I'm going to carve it into his gravestone with my urine stream. Just blast, boom.
Could you hit it with, like, the anti-water paint or something like that? You know, like how you've seen people have, like, designs on sidewalks and that. So when it rains, it has this neat-looking design
where
you could just have FU on.
So I'll drink a bunch of that stuff, so when I pee on it, it'll only say Moscow Mitch when it rains?
That's not quite how you use it.
Yeah.
Is that not how it works?
No, it's not how it works. Oh,
maybe I'll just take a shit on his skeleton.
That works, too.
Okay. I'm glad we figured this out.
That requires digging.
Eh, or just really, really heavy just a very shit. just high-velocity poo straight through the ground.
Andy, do you have a recommendation?
Blammo.
Oh, or did we destroy you?
Like those bunker busters can go through like 10 meters of soil and concrete.
All right, Dan, you go.
I'm sorry. My brain just rebooted at the thought of bunker busting shit. okay. So as of Friday, every currently released Tool album is on Pandora, Spotify, iTunes, streaming option of choice. Go listen to them. New album comes out at the end of the month.
So it'll have that one song you like, and then that other song that you can't remember the title of that you also kind of like.
Yeah, I mean, so you're bouncing around 8 songs from 4 albums, but they're still now legally available.
Yay!
Honestly, too much of my ex-girlfriend.
Tool's Tool.
Yeah.
It is nice, mostly because they were one of the last remaining holdouts.
Yeah.
I got that good egg recipe song.
Peter Gabriel went on Spotify. Mm-hmm. I was happy with that.
Yeah, I like Peter Gabriel. He's probably got my favorite. I think this is the weird thing. I think I like every cover of Heroes more than David Bowie's original.
It's a very
David Bowie is almost catching up to
Bob Dylan
as far as songs that are better when he doesn't sing them.
Yeah, because like Motorhead's version of Heroes is really good.
Did you see Childish Gambino's cover of the Chris Gaines song?
Not yet.
Do you remember Chris Gaines?
Yeah, I remember it. It's like some kind of, it's some kind of like a slow jam type song.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm thinking of? Like, I remember the video had like it was a beach or something like that.
I don't know. I just remember the song because Chris Gaines was when, what's his face? What's his name, David? The guy.
Give me more to work on.
The fucking country guy. No, exactly. Garth Brooks.
Okay.
So Garth Brooks was going to be in a movie called The Dove or something like that. And it was going to be a movie about this pop singer named Chris Gaines, an Australian pop singer. And
that the one that he got the emo flavor saver?
Correct.
And stuff?
So he released an album as Chris Gaines, a year before this movie was going to come out, but then the movie was canceled and it was never released, so there was no movie for this character to exist in, so it's just this weird concept album that Garth Brooks made. one of the songs actually made it to like the top of the Billboard 100 chart. It was a big hit, but oddly enough, you can't get it now. Like the article I was reading with this cover even pointed out, and I didn't believe him, so I checked. You can't find that song anywhere on the internet. It's not streaming on any site. It's not on YouTube. It's not on like Vimeo. You cannot find the Chris Gaines song that was a fucking smash hit at the time Lost anywhere.
It's probably not even on Pirate Bay because no Lost one cares about fucking Chris Gaines.
Lost in You. It's gone. Just scrubbed from the internet, which is shocking that that happened. Yeah. So anyway, Childish Gambino did a cover of that song this
week. Pause. They did name their album, but I don't remember what it is. It's something, there's way too many syllables. It's a Tool album.
Yeah, you should read the question when you're answering. Yeah, because
Tool has named their album coming out at the end of the month. I don't remember what it is. It's at least seven syllables.
But it's just fucking weird that Chris Gaines song is just gone. Lost in You. Just, you can't find it.
Yeah.
Unless you have one of the 18 billion copies of that album that were out there because they way overprinted that album. It was like the Atari ET of CDs.
I'll just say I'm trying to forget Garth Brooks because I was in high school in Kentucky when he was at his most popular, and you could not escape the Garth Brooks music being played.
Yeah, have you tried getting very drunk? For example, if you had, I don't know, two pina coladas, one for each hand.
Hit him with the chair.
See, because that's a Garth Brooks song. So that's the joke.
No. I couldn't get away from Garth Brooks either, and I lived in Wisconsin.
Yeah. I mean, rural. Right.
In
rural
fairness, Wisconsin. There isn't a lot of difference between the weather between rural Kentucky and rural Wisconsin.
Yeah.
As far as pop country goes, Garth Brooks was not bad.
Yeah, realistically.
He's tolerable as far as it's still kind of country, but like mainstream enough to be more palatable.
Sure, that's because he actually at least had talent.
Correct.
And was not just solely surviving on autotune.
Or, I mean, In at that era, there was also Achy Breaky Heart, which was also everywhere, and Garth Brooks didn't make me want to claw my ears off.
Right. The Weird Al cover of Achy Breaky Heart is very good and very apropos. Don't play that song, that achy breaky song.
Yeah,
I just can't take it anymore.
I don't even.
It is the first of the war crimes of the Cyrus Clan.
Yeah,
I honestly don't even like Weird Al's version of it.
But that's fine because the thing is, Weird Al's version is still that song, so it's correct. Very self-referential. Where the song is about how bad the song is.
Yeah.
Like all of his other songs, like you'll find like a funny thing, and that one's just a desperate for the love of God, fuck off and die.
I got no recommendations.
All right, I'm leaving because my wife keeps texting me pictures of dinner.
Ooh. All right. Thanks all for showing up, and we'll see you next week.
Yep. Okay, we love you. Bye-bye.